Evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And I see one of my co-hosts is already here. Yay!
Hello!
Good evening. How are we tonight, Karen?
Good evening. This is Jamie, not Karen.
Really, Jamie? Oh my god, you sounded like Karen for a minute there when you said hello, the way you said hello.
Oh, I did? Sorry. It wasn't meant to.
And actually, that's funny, because you were both on here, and like, you popped up just as I went to click on hers, and it pushed it down. That's why I thought it was Karen. Hi, Karen.
Oh, okay, we're both here.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Hello. Happy New Year.
How are we tonight?
Good.
I was
just watching The Wilds, and I want to go back to it.
I was watching The Wilds also.
It's good.
I want to go back to it. Let's talk about The Wild.
Okay, let's talk
I'm
about
I'm only on the beginning of episode 2, so don't talk very much.
Me too. I'm on the beginning of episode 2.
That's
I
funny.
I won't talk at all. Oh, my God.
AJ, how many episodes have you watched?
Artie and I finished it tonight.
Just got renewed for the second season.
Yeah, it got renewed. 10 episodes this season. I'll tell you what. I went into it, but it's funny. Artie mentioned it to me. And I was like, you know, I think I remember Jamie saying something about that. And then, you know, so we watched the first episode, and I was just like, wow. I was like, I'm kind of intrigued. You know, it's you know, it's got its lost essence to it. And I kind of see, you know, maybe Lord of the Flies. But I'll tell you what, the further you get into it, the more it's own thing. I mean, yeah, you're going to think about Lost with certain things, like especially the setup. I mean, they've got flashbacks, flash-forwards, and quote-unquote present time, or depending on what your version of present time is, but you got three time frames.
I didn't know
that way.
Like I said, it is flash-forwards. That's not true. I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah,
well,
I don't know. The only thing I have to say is I was hoping it was sci-fi. I didn't know for sure, but I just kept thinking, even from the very beginning, this totally was a setup. So I'm glad I was right about that part. I didn't even actually, and I don't know if I'm right yet because I haven't seen it, but I kind of wonder if it wasn't really a plane crash at all. I thought it was just they put them on the beach and made them think that, but it's strange that one girl who was their operative or whatever, I don't know, makes it sound like CIA, that she had, like, you know, was bleeding internally. So I don't know. Something happened there.
So, you know, I want to say something about that, but first I want to say, so I agree. So like when I first saw the promos for this, I was like, oh, it's like a ripoff of Lost. They're in a plane crash and, you know, they have a chance to like reinvent themselves and not be who you were or whatever. But you know, and then I got spoiled a little because I just read a quick blurb about it that said they're in a plane crash. And then it turned out to be, I don't know if you read the same blurb as me. So the blurb I read says what it might be that they're
okay, well,
really going
don't
on there.
Me.
So I'm not going to say it.
Okay,
thanks. And then, you know, and then I started watching it, and I mean, you find out in the first episode that there's more going on, that, you know, this is they're being watched. This is some sort of, I don't know what it is, experiment maybe, or who
like
knows, right?
Experiment. Yeah.
But, you know, I started to get feelings of, so I've not watched The Prisoner, but isn't this kind of like The Prisoner where this guy's on this island and it turns out that, like, people are watching him and, like, there's, right, The Prisoner's from, like, the 60s, which it inspired Lost. So, and it reminded me it also reminded me of Persons Unknown, where they wake up in this town and they, like, with all these people they don't know and they don't know how they got there and, like, the town's deserted and whatever. Remember that?
It turned out
one of the people was an operative, and right?
Yeah.
Like it feels like Persons
and
Unknown,
somebody else,
which we all love.
What they said, somebody else is an operative, too, because they said they still had one person on the ground. We just don't know who that is.
Yeah. So, Jamie was saying about the plane crash, like, she was wondering maybe there wasn't a plane crash, except Jeanette was so injured. Like, I do remember when Leah, in episode 1, where Leah is talking to the cops, or whoever those guys are, the agents, and she says, you know, I have no idea how long I was in the water. I can't remember everything. The weird thing is, all of us had a huge gap in our memory. Nobody could remember anything. So,
right, which is why I figured the plane never crashed and they just set them in the water.
Well, you just made me think maybe the chocolate cake was drugged.
I bet you're right. I bet you're right.
I just thought of it right now.
The chocolate cake was probably drugged. She's laughing.
Right?
I hadn't thought about that, but you're probably right, because everybody ate it. Even that girl ate a little bit.
Yeah, and it's shaking, and then they wake up in the water and stuff. So could they have faked a plane crash, threw them in the water? But I don't know what. But you're right. The injuries to Jeanette are
expensive, unless something happened to her. I don't know.
Extensive. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the cake wasn't drugged. AJ's being quiet, they make it sound like a CIA or something like that,
but that seems strange because that to me makes no sense. But that's what it sounds like, the way they call them operatives, and they're not extracting them and all. You know, it sounds like some kind of spy or CIA or NSA or something. So I guess I'll have to see.
Although, I got to say,
they were on the way to Hawaii. It would kind of be an assumption that there's a good chance they were still in the United States. I still would have called 911 and tried that first, I feel like. Because they could have triangulated your position right away. You know what I mean? You call your parents, and they're going to be like, where are you? Where are you? And, you know, like, you're run out of battery by then.
Well, I mean, my thoughts. You're right, but having, like, so Hawaii is, like, 8 hours from San Francisco. It's, like, what is it, like, 5 hours from L.A.? AJ and I happen to fly on the same flight there, I think. So, it's like 5 or 6 hours from L.A., I think. When I flew out of Houston, it was like 7 or 8 hours from Houston. So it's in the middle of nowhere in the ocean, right? So if you crash between, like, San Francisco and Hawaii, you could really be in the middle of nowhere. It's not like on Lost where they turned back from – wait, it's turned back from – they were going from Australia to, like, San Francisco, right? And they turned back. I mean, they could be but the fact that – you're right. The fact that they even get a signal and it rings – could be somewhere very close offshore of the United States and just think they're
en
route to Hawaii. Right? And if you left from San Francisco, you could crash in a place that, like, they're pretty cold and it doesn't look very tropical where they are.
Right. That's why I just would have assumed. And, I mean, you get time to make one phone call and they're, like, all trying somebody. I mean, we knew none of the calls were going to go through, but still.
Yeah.
Seems dumb.
I watched the first episode, and then I only saw like the first 10 minutes of the second episode,
where the girl talks to her diving coach. Yeah, it was just at where she had just screamed at Leah for not waking them up.
So I'm like,
that was where
I'm like 4 minutes ahead of you. I don't know, but I wonder if every episode will be a different girl telling her story.
Probably.
And so by the end of 7 or 8, you have a picture of everyone's, you know, and we've seen shows like that where you see the same scene from different people's, I don't know if we'll see that. It doesn't look like we're going to see the same scene from different perspectives. It looks like Rachel's story is picking up where Leah's left off.
What I find interesting, though, is that whatever these people are doing, whether it's an experiment, whatever it is, they're not trying to hurt people. Like, obviously, they keep going whatever it is, even though somebody got killed. But although, I don't know, maybe they only care because she's one of theirs. But I kind of got the opinion that they didn't want anybody to die and that it was some kind of, you know, social experiment. I don't know, because I wondered if at first these people all seem to be, like, outcasts. And I wondered if, like, they were taking, like, you know, depressed girls or whatever and trying to, like, make them be better or something. I don't know.
I don't think they're – so, I mean, that's getting into what the show really is about, which is, like, the trauma of being a teenage woman. I don't think they're really all outcasts. Clearly, a couple of them are very popular girls in their circles, but I think it's maybe about, like, how everybody feels like an outcast, even if they're
right.
at that age – you feel like an outcast, even if, like Fatin, is that how you say her name? The girl who's from Leah's high school.
Name, but I don't know.
Who's really pop, you know, she's really pretty and popular. And then that girl from, Shelby from Texas, who, like, you know, has a boyfriend and does pageants and whatever. Like, she's, I think, you know,
yeah,
probably.
But neither of them seemed happy, I guess was my point, whether they were.
Well, but... So I think you and I know, and AJ, you've never been a girl, I don't think, but
no, I haven't.
Like, at that age, like, is it possible to be happy when you're like a 16-year-old girl, right? Like, is anyone happy deep down inside? That's kind of like, you know, I guess Leah really, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Leah.
Like the insecurity and the. Leah said it all in her interview where she's like, look, there's not crazy, there's only damage. And, like, the trauma, she's like, if you're looking for trauma, it happened before we got to that island. Like, everyone is traumatized by their, like, it's really not, like, right? Like, I think we're, like, I don't know, we're seeing, like, I've only watched an hour and 10 minutes, but it, like, I think Leah, like, told us what the show is about. That, like, she's fully traumatized, but it's about, like, the plane crash was not, that, I don't know, I'm sure it gets worse, but.
Well, I'm glad that it's not going to be, like, a whole Lord of the Flies thing, because that's what I wondered when you had asked that. I'm thinking, I hope not, because I really never liked that book. I'm honest.
Well, a couple of the girls are total bitches, though. Like,
yeah, I mean,
Rachel,
I could see some of it.
Rachel the diver.
Like happened to the other girl.
Rachel the diver is a total bitch. And that girl who was the basketball player who threw pee on another girl, she's a total bitch also. Tony, yes. Like, she was so mean to Shelby, right? Like, she was, granted, Shelby is maybe a little annoying, but, like, she's just so mean. Like, she's a total bitch also, right? Now,
I feel like Shelby
was
trying to annoy her, though. Like, if she had just asked her nicely to quit, she might have. That's kind of how I felt. Like, she was trying to piss her off, which did not give her a right to do what she, you know, to knock her. Well, she didn't mean to do quite what she did, but she shouldn't have hit her. But yeah.
Well, but I think that's her thing, that she gets angry and lashes out and doesn't think about, like, that it's going to hurt someone, right?
Right.
I mean, she's a kind of a total jerk, but she's best friends with that really nice girl, Martha. So.
Yeah. You know what, like, I just realized something, and I think this is because of Lost, because of thinking of Lost. Did you guys, I feel bad saying this, but one of the first things I thought whenever that girl died is, should they take her clothes or at least see if she has anything? Because I'm thinking if they had done that, they would have found the phone. But that was like my thought when they I'm like, that's horrible. Why am I thinking that? But I don't know. That was what went through my head. And I'm thinking probably because of Lost, because they looted people, you know?
Yeah. But at this point, you got to remember the first thing these girls are like, okay, you know, they're going to find us in a couple hours, you know, whatever. So they weren't thinking like that.
Yeah.
At that point.
I think if you want to compare it to, like, the Lost wreck, they're all Shannon. Like, Shannon was, like, 20 when the plane crashed and was, like, a total bitch. She was, like,
they're all,
right?
They're all Shannon.
Shannon was
like,
so,
that
like,
needs to be,
find,
like, an article title or something. The Wilds, they're all Shannon.
Yeah. Shannon was, like, they're going to find us. Why should I bother finding water? They're totally going to find us any minute, right? Like,
yep.
My father will be looking. They're all Shannon. Shannon was, like, one second out of teenagehood.
You know, something funny, I wasn't sure where they shot it. It turns out they shot in New Zealand. But there was a part of me that was, I didn't know the first couple episodes. So, like, the whole time I'm watching the episodes until I knew that they shot in New Zealand, I'm assuming that they shot in Hawaii. And
so
I keep looking for, like, I know where that is from Lost. But then I found out they shot in New Zealand.
So this place that they were going to, which is called Dawn of Eve and had that weird logo, which I feel like I should start, like, looking at that and anagramming it or whatever, like going down the Lost rabbit hole. But Rachel Griffiths is in this organization. So the mother, like, the parents have, like, they were going to fly, you know what it cost to fly in a private jet? Like, they were flying on a private jet to, like, a private island or, like, whatever they were going to this seminar for the weekend.
They were,
like,
going to my,
it was a weekend seminar by private jet, right? So what I'm getting at is, like, what the parents must have paid to send them on this weekend. I mean, like, it's funny because they don't, like, we don't know, but it doesn't seem like maybe the parents have tried that many options. Like, Leah's parents clearly, like, is this the first thing they've tried? Like, we're not aware that she's been to any counseling or...
Just because she's upset over a breakup doesn't mean there's something wrong with her either. I mean, she may be depressed, I don't know, but it was kind of like this whole thing, like, yeah, you're upset over breakups, so we need to do something. Like, they ever think of, like, you know, she's a teenager, wait and see what happens.
Well,
you know,
it's funny because go ahead.
Listening to the two of you, you know, obviously I know the answer, but listening to the two of you, it's like listening to the conversations that Artie and I had as we were watching it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just remember, you're getting snippets. You know, it's you never get the full picture until later episodes.
But it, like, when Leah's parents were suggesting that they're like, we think you should go on this, you're upset of a breakup, what can
maybe
I do? And I was like, God,
are all in on it.
Well, I was. That's where I was eventually going. But I was thinking, like, God, her mother's so unsympathetic and not like. It's like her mother was never a teenage girl and doesn't understand what this can do to her. But also, it was clear, looking back on that, it's clear her mother didn't know that she had, you know.
Yeah, she didn't know what happened.
Well, you know, that she. So there's a version of that story where she lies to him. And he doesn't know she's underage. It's still statutory rape, right? And I think there's also a part of this guy that didn't want it. Like, a high school girl drives
probably.
You, right?
I know, that's
like,
what I'm kind of wondering. She's in high school. Like, he had to know there's a possibility she was, you know. Why is my alarm going off? Sorry about that.
I don't care if she was 17 and, like, just turned 18 2 weeks
ago. She's still
ago.
In high school,
it's still very, it's still very creepy and wrong. That he, like, he's made pretty sympathetic in that first episode. I don't know what we might find out later about him, but it's very sketchy, and, like, I don't care if she lied. Like, it's his job to not be texting high school girls.
Yeah. You know, I kind of thought maybe he would be in on it because that'd be weird, but then I thought, I don't think so, because technically, like you said, it's statutory rape, and, like, I don't think that they would purposely have had that happen just to, you know what I mean? Like, it just wouldn't make sense. So I doubt that
he can't
that
be in on it because, like, it's too difficult for him to get the invitation to the school, and then the counselor asks her friend to give him a ride, and the friend says no, and she says yes.
That's
like, there's
true.
Just too many.
Too many random events, yeah.
Yes. But
I just wonder, like, were the parents even looking for him? Because I thought about it, and she's like, did he even care? Did he call anybody? But he also, like, maybe nobody's looking for them because they're not kidnapped. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's been told, like, you know, these people aren't missing or something.
Well,
and, like,
they wouldn't
whether
be
he
missing
cared
for
or not,
least...
maybe he wouldn't have called. You know what I mean? Because, like,
maybe
he doesn't think she's missing.
They won't be missing for at least the time they're – they won't be missing for at least the amount of time they're supposed to be on this weekend, right? They're not missing until they don't come home.
Well, it's not even a weekend. It's,
like, at least some of the teenage girls have called their parents when they got there.
Like,
it's a 30,
they were sent on a weekend. It's a weekend program.
Yeah. No, it's a 30-day retreat.
Well, maybe I thought they said 3 days.
I thought it
said
weekend,
they
too,
said 30. I thought they said weekend. I'm pretty sure they said weekend.
No,
30-day
retreat.
Maybe we thought is 3. It, I don't. But either way, I would just think one of them would have contacted somebody of their family, like, they, or at least their family would expect them to contact them. I guess I should say, like, if you're
well,
going to be gone that long, you would think.
Well, I mean,
a,
there are many,
well,
many programs
a,
where you're not allowed to be in touch with your family during
right,
the time
right.
you're there.
Right,
yeah,
but
the
I mean that wasn't
it's,
like stated. I guess is what I'm saying. Like it
yes,
wasn't.
But
it, I don't
no,
know.
It was
doesn't
stated.
Matter.
It's a 30-day retreat in the wilds. They leave their cell phones
okay.
at the door.
None of that has been stated
yeah, but
in episode
they
one.
Didn't.
I feel certain like
really,
Jamie
I thought
does
that was the
that
first episode.
No, it was not.
I
feel certain like
episode.
Jamie does. I feel certain that in the first episode it is presented as a weekend. I think that I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm pretty sure that video that they watch on the plane with Rachel Griffiths says a weekend. Now, I wouldn't put it past certain programs. Like, I wouldn't put it like on. I could see on television a program like. For addicts,
okay.
when they convince you to go for a weekend, you're locked up for 30 days or whatever, right? I don't know if they can do that in life,
yeah.
but on TV they could. I feel, Jamie, I feel certain they said weekend, don't you?
I thought so, too, but it is possible we thought they said 3. But, yeah, I thought they said weekend as well. But they could have been lying to them. We don't know.
It never says in the wild. It definitely has not said in the wild. In
no,
the
no,
it
definitely doesn't,
because
I didn't know why it was called that. So, I mean,
yeah,
now
I still,
thought
yeah,
about
I
it. Yeah, we
that.
Should have known that, but, yeah.
Maybe all the parents knew it was 30 days and they lied to the kids and said it was a weekend to make them go. I don't really know, but I'm going to go back and watch it, but I think it said a weekend.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't say 30 day out in the wild, for sure.
Yeah.
And they believe they're going to the Big Island of Hawaii, right? It says, we'll get to the
yeah,
Big Island.
Yeah, it seems
and,
like
yeah.
they all took phones or they would have been surprised anybody had a phone because they seemed to expect that there were cell phones.
Well, look
I
how
mean,
much
maybe
makeup
the
one that one girl packed, right?
Yeah.
That girl packed nothing but makeup. Like, they're
yeah,
not packed
going
for
the
wild. Nobody reached into their
well,
backpack or their
the
suitcase. Nobody reached into their suitcase and got out an anorak and a compass. Like, everyone
yeah.
has makeup and cell phones and books.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah, you're
so,
right.
So I think that may yet to be revealed to us, that it's that's in the wild. But I, you know, it was interesting also when they all take a chance to make a phone call, and like nobody's calling their parents. Like the one girl is going to call her coach, and the other girl like calls the author that dumped her, and another girl is going to call. One girl doesn't make a call at all, and she's like, you know, and then another girl, the parents don't answer the phone, and she goes, oh, those fucktards. Like, they all are alienated from their parents. Like,
that's what I said. I
would have
called 911 no matter what. That would have been my call either way.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if Nora could be the operative, the twin, even though she's the twin. Like, she's the one who's like,
don't call the coach.
Knows everything. Oh, soda sink. Coke will sink. Oh, let's make a, you know, she knows everything. Although
maybe, but I thought the point of that was saying she was the smart one because there was the whole word game,
yeah.
Which I still don't know what the hell they were doing in the word game. But,
I mean,
she even made a comment she's smart. One girl did.
They're definitely, it's definitely not just the parents send them and they get, like, the parents could be on it because remember the part where all of them knew CPR? Like, they have been selected to have skills to survive.
Yeah, definitely.
It. Right? Like,
yeah, that's why they probably figured everybody would be okay, you know.
It's not just like whoever signs up, Rachel Griffiths is doing an experiment on them. Like, they are
right.
Selected for this experiment.
Well, maybe whoever the other operative is, or maybe one of them's bad or something, and that's how that one girl got internal bleeding. Like, maybe it wasn't from a crash or something. It was from completely different. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, the other operative could be, like, the pilot or the flight attendant could show up, because there's also the bit where all the girls came in pairs except Jeanette, right? There's the two that are sisters, the two that are best friends.
Yeah, I didn't even think
there's
of it being Jeanette.
Leah and Fadden are from their school, and there's, like, other two are, like, I don't know, like, all of them are in
pairs.
They
all had a partner. It's weird, though, that they didn't give her a partner. That kind of seems strange.
Well, because she's the operator. She has a partner. It's just not.
No, but
there's,
I mean, I would think
operative.
that would be suspicious, unless maybe you're right, maybe the pilot was going to show up later and help or something and would have became her partner. I don't know.
No, but see what Leah thinks, it's not like, and this makes sense, that she doesn't think it's weird that one girl doesn't have a partner. She thinks it's weird that they do have partners. Like, every, you know, right? Like, she didn't know this other girl from high school was coming. Like, the weird part is that they are paired up, not that someone's alone.
Right.
Because
the other ones might have known that their partner was coming, though. I mean, she wasn't friends with that girl, which makes sense they wouldn't talk about it.
And the sisters knew, and the best friends knew, but nobody else knew.
All right.
Anyway, it is surprisingly good. I did not think it was, like, the name The Wilds and a bunch of teenage girls, I was like, is this going to be like The OC? And it surprised me with how good it was. This first episode.
Yeah,
too.
It was really good. The acting's good too. I mean, I don't know any of the girls, but
I was just gonna say, that's the other thing I like is most, you know, I mean, other than Rachel Griffiths, I don't recognize anybody in the cast except for like, stupid Artie pointed out that Hope. Or no Hope. What the hell's the smart
the one who's in charge of it or whatever.
No, that's Rachel Griffiths.
Well, yeah, but not it. Yeah, Rachel Griffiths. But the smart twin.
Now, who do you mean? Nora?
Is
the smart
Nora,
twin?
Nora. Nora already said, it's funny because I kept thinking she looked familiar. And Artie said, she looks like a young Zendaya. And it's all I see now.
No, it's not. She looked to me kind of like the girl that was in C Christiane did interviews with. That's what I kept thinking, but I didn't think it was her, so I didn't know. But yeah, she did look kind of. You mean that's the smart sister, right?
Nora.
Okay,
she does look
like
she does. She does resemble Zendaya in some ways.
Yeah.
But my point was, I really like the fact that the girls aren't well known. The girls aren't well known, and the acting is really good. So it draws you in further. Because you're not sitting there looking at, you know.
Although the one that's a tomboy, she looks kind of familiar, and I can't figure out from where either, so I don't know. But yeah, they're not like well known either way. All right.
So surprisingly good. I guess we're going to. Are we going to talk about this show again going forward?
Sure. I mean, I don't think we need to do per week, but maybe just. Maybe do a couple
episodes or
something.
I was going to say, as you guys watch it, we can talk about it.
because AJ's seen it all, so we can burn sounds through good. It, Jamie, and then catch up next week.
Yep, sounds good.
All right. Well,
all right.
I
watched
that show this week. All right.
So
Doctor Who to you.
Yes.
Doctor Who.
So this was the New Year's special.
Christmas special. 78 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't know it was long until it was on. I didn't realize it. This
how
episode.
How did you like this?
Well, I was going to say, this was, like you said, what I was surprised about is that this, I mean, I guess some things from the finale were in it, but it mostly really was just Dalek stuff, which was kind of surprising since she was, you know, put in prison at the end of the other one. But it's kind of, you know, a one-off story, as much as it's got mythology in there, kind of, why does my alarm keep going off? Oh, because I hit repeat instead, and that was why I hit repeat instead of stop. It's probably going to happen again. But it sort of works as a one-off story. I think there were some good things in here. I mean, I don't think it was the best, but I don't think it was the worst either. I was surprised they brought back, Chris Roth, Jack Robertson.
Chris Noth.
I had Roth. Okay. Yeah. I was surprised they brought him back because it sounded before like they might, but like he didn't seem to be like somebody within the mythology that they would, you know. I like that they 3D printed the dogs. I don't know. I think it was an interesting idea, especially because they were empty. But you kind of knew that somehow they were going to end up with, you know, real Daleks. I'm not sure. My one thing is I'm not sure that these Daleks would be less hard to kill than the original Daleks that she sent for more. That was kind of, I don't know that that made sense, but yeah, I mean, overall it was okay. What did you think?
I thought it was okay. I expect more from the Doctor Who Christmas special, New Year special, because so many of them have been so good in recent years, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've had a couple of, like, really, we've seen a new companion introduced in some of them. We have seen some really emotional and meaningful things happen, particularly maybe with like 11. But some of them are just kind of one-off-y, whatever. And this was it. I thought that it was uneven. I thought the pacing was kind of, I don't know, not great. Typical Doctor Who episode, they just sort of like whiz by some stuff with no explanation that sort of happens too fast, very often in Doctor Who, right?
Yeah.
And I thought the last time we saw the Doctor, like in The Timeless Child, bless you. There was some real, like a bunch of really meaningful, important stuff happened to the Doctor. Questioning her entire past, and I thought, I mean, I guess you don't want to devote your holiday special to that, but I thought they sort of glossed over the Doctor's
especially because this is supposed to be a few decades,
right?
You know, which I was surprised about, but yeah, they didn't really talk about it, but I mean, because it is a holiday special, maybe they didn't want to, because I feel like, you're right, really important things have happened in holiday specials, but I don't know that they're usually super, like, into the mythology. I feel like the one with 11 kind of was, but that was, like, I think the 50th special or the one right after or whatever, so it was, like, stuff going on there.
Remember that whole one where Clara was aging and she was an old lady, and like that was a really sort of emotional episode or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that this episode maybe, so there are some that are just like a bottle episode almost. And I almost would have preferred to see this Dalek episode like be its own thing. And like, there was some heavy stuff with like, we really glossed over the Doctor's own issues. And then I was really interested in this bit where the companions have been on their own for 10 months. And how they feel.
I've seen a little bit more on that.
We needed more of that. And I really would have loved to see them try to fight the Dalek. Like, they're like, okay, well, without the Doctor, what are we going to do? We're going to save the planet. And they barely get a chance to do anything, and the Doctor reappears. And I almost would have loved, like an episode that gave them more time to really, like, show what they've learned from the Doctor and have some more. I mean, you can't have a Doctor episode without the Doctor, but we could have had less Doctor and...
I agree. I mean, The other thing is obviously the companions, well, not, yeah, the other companions leave. But I feel like there wasn't, I mean, that wasn't even really addressed that much. That was just like the last couple minutes. We're not coming back. I mean, obviously they've hinted at it, but, I don't know. Not that I'm upset they're necessarily gone, although I probably would have chosen Graham over Yaz. I've said that before.
Yes, me too. I feel like they've been really growing Graham in that direction in the last few months.
Yeah, and she's kind of had
the
least
show,
stuff
right?
to do. Like, they haven't written her character. You know, she hasn't been given up. But, and that's the other thing, too. She was, like, obviously really upset. But I don't know. Like, did she almost seem – I don't know if I want to say too upset because I don't mean it in that way. But, like, most companions, yeah, they know it sucks and like, she leaves. But she was, like, really – like, this isn't fair, you know, you can't give this to me and then take it away. Like, I don't know. I almost also got the, impression that maybe she has a crush on the doctor, and I'm not sure if she's supposed to, or that's the way it read, or you're supposed to wonder, I don't know. But the other ones weren't very upset, and I don't know, it just seemed disproportionate to me. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that Graham has been the best character on the show, even better than the doctor, and I don't really mean that against Jodie Whittaker, but... Graham's the best
character on the
show.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's a lot of the writing. Graham gets the best storylines. Graham has the most emotional backstory. Graham, like, I really understand why he travels with the doctor after what he's been through and what it means to him to do this kind of traveling. Ryan has been really the least developed kind of a bore of a. I don't say he's a bore. He's had his moments, but they gave Ryan the least story. And then they decided to write him off, and they tried to give an emotional reason for Ryan to leave, and we never really saw it. And
right.
And we did see, like, when you look at Amy and Rory, who they were how long was Amy the companion? I feel like she maybe went more than 3 years, maybe 4 years. But at any rate,
I don't know, but
you
she
did,
wasn't that long alone. So because Rory,
no, but you
well,
did see
kidding,
Amy,
but...
you did see Amy and Rory begin to want to spend more time at home. And they you did see them pass on hanging out with the doctor, and they were always anxious to see the doctor, but they didn't really mind so much the periods of time because they had each other in their lives.
But they had
whatever,
each other,
right?
Yeah,
and they built into it. I feel like they just suddenly when they just like in the last like Ryan didn't really they gave him nothing to do, and then we're supposed to believe this.
Yeah, did they remove him because people complained there were too many companions, or did they remove him because he got another show and they just decided to make him leave? So,
well,
yeah, I agree. It doesn't feel like it was planned. So,
I think Yaz, here's another problem I have. So, I would have liked to have seen Graham be the companion. Graham and like, you know, we haven't had, like, an older, like, Donna was a little bit of an older companion, right? But not old, not as old as Graham.
Yeah,
but Donna
old,
was
no.
more, like, she wasn't, like, a young woman, like
right.
so many are. I think Yaz... My other problem is that they already are introducing a new companion, and is Yaz going to have no standalone time with the doctor? Like, maybe I would like Yaz. I don't like Yaz.
Yeah, I know.
But maybe
part
Yaz...
of the complaint was that there's too many companions, and it's like they're bringing somebody else in now.
Oh, we have to have a man.
You know,
like,
just get rid of them. Yeah.
The companion's always a woman, but there's always a man sidekick. Like, even...
Right.
So Clara really got to be a solo companion in a better way than, like, Bill... Like, Nardole was always around, right? And I like him, but...
Not always.
Like,
but I liked him better,
yeah, but he was,
better than Bill.
He was
but...
around a lot. Yeah, but he was, like, so many times, like, and so Amy, then they brought Rory, and Rose had Mickey, and so, like, Donna was standalone, but so often, like, it bothers me that when the companion is a woman, they have to bring a man on. Like, the there always is a man brought in at some point. Like the
yeah, although I kind of wonder that they do that since there isn't a male doctor, though. They think people want to at least see a male companion, which
I texted this to you. Why can't we have two female leads for a while?
Right.
Like, for at least
yeah,
a couple episodes, they've already introduced a new companion. It's annoying.
Well,
that's
they said he's coming.
The
they didn't actually, I mean, there was like, I guess, a little, I didn't see it live, or I didn't see the end of it live. I had seen it earlier. So I don't know if they showed the clip. I guess they showed in Europe,
they
like, with
him
showing him.
He's, like, loading a truck or something. I don't know. There was some clip of him. He's some,
I don't know
he's
if
some
he's
going to
be in right
from
away.
Liverpool.
Yeah, I'm
well, he's
going to
be in soon. They're
not going to
introduce him and not bring him for six episodes. I mean,
well, no, but you
coming.
Said for a few episodes. I just meant there could be a couple without him. We don't really know. I can't remember.
It bothers me. It bothers me how, especially like they didn't even have 1 minute to like mourn Graham leaving as a character, and they're like, guess what? Here comes a new guy. So that bothered me. I did enjoy seeing Jack, but it felt a little bit. I mean, we love.
Why
Jack,
couldn't they just
right?
bring
but
Jack it, in? Leave Jack. Yeah, I mean that's better for a companion.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I probably don't want to overuse them.
Well, I did like seeing him. It did felt a little bit overstuffed. Like, bringing Jack on was great, but, like, had Jack,
more
and we had Chris Noth, and we had Daleks, and we had, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was going to say,
I think Chris Noth was great.
Yeah, and there were some funny lines. Actually, Chris Noth had quite a lot of them. I don't know. Sometimes I think it does this so you don't always just wake up and hit it. The stop and the repeat change places.
Oh, my God, Jamie, put your phone in another room until we're done.
Well, no, I meant now I stopped it. I had hit the wrong thing before, so I kept going. What was I saying? Oh, but he had some funny lines, too. But I was going to say, I liked the beginning with her in prison. They showed some of the other creatures. Although I'm not sure what the heck they were supposed to be doing to the Weeping Angel. I guess it was so couldn't look at them. I didn't quite get what those red lines were. But I did like when she saw the silence. She's like, oh, I always forget you're here or something like that. I mean,
it was simple,
but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I liked the idea that the Daleks were empty for a while. I liked that they looked a little different. And, of course, they had the basic – I mean, I don't know if they said it or not what it was, but, I mean, they kind of had that facehugger type thing go on. I don't know. Like I said, I get that she used the Daleks because they were impure and it would come kill them, but I'm just not sure that was really made sense as a way to defeat them. But, you know, it worked,
well,
I guess.
I mean, I think the Daleks – really were just not scary in this episode. Like, sometimes the Daleks are really scary, but, like, no one was ever in jeopardy. Like, so they vaporized, like, a bunch of people who are not real, like, a bunch of red shirts, right? And they vaporized the Prime Minister. But, like, there never was a moment where, I mean, even when, like, nobody was captured by the Daleks, like, there was one second where they were, you know, like, even when Jack and Graham and Ryan went up on the Dalek ship, that was kind of fun, but there was no, like, I mean, maybe the holiday season, they don't want it to
for
be
a minute, but not
scary, but...
Yeah, maybe not. Let me ask you a question, though. The one thing I thought was strange, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it was and how it ended, but Robertson, Noth's character, like, I forget exactly what he said at the end, but basically he was saying, like, he could come out on top with it. And they, like, let him take the credit for the stuff. And he had already betrayed them. I guess maybe just because they needed a story that people would believe so that she's like, yeah, that works. I guess that was the point because they really didn't, like, explain why she let him get away. I don't know. I mean, it's either him or there and maybe he's coming back. But I don't know. Just that to me was, like, I don't know, not addressed right or something.
I mean, in terms of letting him get away, so... I mean, what would they really do? Turn him into MI6? Like, I mean, the part where his name is Robertson or Robinson, right? He is going to betray all of humanity to the Daleks is a really, like, it's one of the worst things we've ever seen, really, anybody ever do, right?
Yeah.
And then it's not clear why they save him except that the Doctor always saves people, and that's what they do. And then in the end, he gets away with it and turns it to his advantage. I mean, we all know that he's a very, he has been since Arachnids in the UK, he's a very thinly veiled Donald Trump, right? I mean, he was in his first episode, he is now. And so the idea that he gets away with it in the end, even though this was written probably, I don't know, before the pandemic, right? But he definitely is supposed to be Trump. And so the idea that he gets away with it is kind of like, just like Trump getting away with stuff.
Yeah, that
kind of
makes sense. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I don't know.
And it also leaves it open for him to be back. Like, he's a pretty good villain. He's better than, you know, he's better than those.
I mean, selling out the human race to Daleks is really bad. But at the same time, like, he is doing it to protect himself. He's not outright trying to kill people, I guess. Like, he seems to be upset, or not upset so much, but, like, not like when somebody gets killed, but he doesn't, like, care that much. Does that make sense? Like, he's not, like, actively trying to kill people, at least. So he's not totally horribly evil.
I mean, I think he's a pretty decent villain. And I think he's better than some other. Like, we also had a villain this, remember last year where there were those, like, billowing pieces of fabric that were, like, the villains in one of the very first episodes of The New Doctor? I mean, he's better, and he's a person that could come back as a power in an extreme way.
Yeah, and he seems more realistic, I guess, would be the other.
All
right.
But, yeah, so anyway, I mean, I guess we're getting it like a B-.
Yeah, one more thing I wanted to say. Is it like only her TARDIS is alive? Because I've taken it to mean like the TARDISes are alive because of the, you know, time energy or whatever. Because obviously he talks to his she talks to the TARDIS and, you know, has a name and everything. We found some other episode. Because I kind of found it strange that like the other TARDIS she lets collapse in on itself and destroy itself and like had no problem with it. So I guess they only consider hers alive, I guess.
Well, I mean,
I kind of wondered on that.
I don't know. So the other TARDIS was destroyed at the end of this episode, which is
kind
of too
bad. Like, that was her plan. It wasn't like, oh no, I don't want to destroy it. So
I mean, that was the Master's TARDIS, right? That was that's the TARDIS they stole at Timeless Children, right? That's the extra TARDIS. That's the extra TARDIS she took to get away, or it's the Master's
TARDIS. Yeah, or it was
Joe's.
I can't remember. Yeah, I don't know.
Because the Doctor's TARDIS is stuck as a police box, but other TARDISes are not.
I don't know that it's stuck. Didn't they make a point of saying before that it's not actually stuck now, but that she's kept it that way? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Know.
But I kind of thought of it as, isn't it alive? But I guess not, because she didn't mind destroying it. Well, they might just
like
not
all
thought about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not really alive in the way that, like, an artificial intelligence is alive.
No.
Right?
But remember the episode with the TARDIS as a person. That's why I'm saying that. Like, when he talks to, I forget what her name is. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Alive. That's the only reason I question it. It doesn't matter. I just was curious. They may have not even thought about it.
Yeah.
All right.
So next season is only 8 episodes. And it was already, they were already filming before the latest lockdown in the UK, but I believe that they said at the end of this episode, or I've read, that it's coming back next fall. It will not be on television until next fall.
Yeah, I figured it wasn't soon, although I didn't know there's only 8 episodes. They should add more when they can't.
Yeah. It's 8 episodes, we got a new guy coming.
Rumors. And I don't know how true they are. These are rumors, not spoilers. But supposedly people were saying that next year is Jodie's next, you know, the season coming up is Jodie's last. So,
yeah. I mean, that's.
But they could
just
be guessing because it's her third year, too. I mean, it's kind of hard
to
tell.
This time last year it was reported that she was leaving. But it was reported not in mainstream. I don't think it was reported in mainstream outlets like it is now. No, it's they're the Guardian is picking stories up. People are saying more truth to it because it's her third season, and lately in the last few years, most of the doctors leave after 3, right? Capaldi left after 3, Tennant left after 3, Smith left after 3. They go 3. And there are location pictures coming out of the filming that it looks like there might be some Weeping Angels coming, and maybe the Centaurans, who are those big head things.
Yeah. Well, one thing that Strax was, Centaurans, no. I'm thinking of something else.
Centaurans have a big head that's sort of like a round lizard head.
Maybe we are talking about the same one. Not Strax. Not the one thing that Strax is. That's something else.
No, because Strax
has a big head,
but he's short and blue. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they look sort of like big lizard head. If you Google Centauran, you'll see
kind of
a metal helmet
that,
head.
They're the ones that I'm thinking of Centauran, but you're talking about the one that Vastra is. Is that who you're talking about?
No, Vastra is the lizard woman, right?
Yeah, that's what you mean, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sontarans is what Strax is. But what you're talking about that you said with lizard people, I think, is what Vastra is.
It's not really a lizard, but it's a little,
No, but it looks like a lizard. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't know how to spell it.
I mean, yeah, they look a little like...
My brain working.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Strax is one of them. It's what Strax is.
Oh, you are talking about that then. Okay.
It is Strax, yes. Centaurans are what Strax is. With like that sort of beginning.
So he's a maybe I'm just pronouncing it wrong then. He's a Sontaran. Maybe we're pronouncing it different.
Anyway, whatever. It looks like we'll have at least some familiar villains next year.
Yeah.
So fall, that might be September, October. We've got a long way to go, so.
Yeah, Vastra is a Silurian. So, yeah, you were talking about what Strax is. You're just pronouncing different. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
All right.
Well, I guess that's it, unless you have more to add. I'm not sure that I do.
No, I don't. Have anything to add? And that's all you and I are both watching, and I'm not sure. I don't think anything is back next week. That's interesting.
No.
I
mean, there's The Watch, which I did watch, but I had watched it before, and I didn't think to take notes or anything because I didn't. Did you guys watch
it by
chance?
No. The promos and the trailers and whatever, it's of no interest to me. It's just not grabbing me.
The characters don't appeal to me at all. It's very strange, but it kind of, and I don't want to say it's anything like it because it's not, but the kind of vibe of it sometimes makes me think of Doctor Who in the sense that, like, some of it's, like, sort of silly, but, like, it works. I don't know. I enjoyed it, but I didn't know whether you would or not. It's kind of like one of those things where you either like it or don't, I think.
No. Like, during Doctor Who, there was a trailer shown during Doctor Who that was a little bit different from the other trailer I've seen, and the advertisements, and the characters just don't appeal to me. So
that's fine.
I guess it's been very much
changed from Discworld. They're saying now it's just inspired by it because it's so much different. So, don't know.
Yeah.
But I never read it, so. All right. Well, I guess that's it then for me. Oh, were you saying you had something else or you didn't?
No. There's some other show that's coming back later this month, but I forget what it is, so.
Expanse. You guys were going to talk about The Expanse, weren't you?
Yes, AJ and I are going to talk about The Expanse.
Yes, we are.
Okay, well, then you guys can do that, and I'm going to go. And I'll see you guys next week. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Roger, for hosting us. Good night. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye, Jamie.
Night.
Bye, Jamie. All right, AJ, thanks for sitting tight during that.
The Expanse.
So tonight we're going to talk about episodes 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Okay. So 3 is an episode that is mostly about Drummer and Christian, I think, right? And then
yes.
4, we get back to Amos. So.
Thankfully.
Did you not like episode 3, or did you just really want to see what was going on with Amos?
Oh, no, I did. I just was really anxious after episode 2 to see what happened with Amos.
Yeah. I thought 3 was pretty good. So
hasn't been anything I haven't liked yet.
Yeah.
So.
3, I think, is also – so it's mostly actually, there's a lot going on. I shouldn't say mostly Drummer, because there's the whole Naomi thing where she finally, like, catches up with her son and everything, which is, like, I mean, everybody's in episode 3. Episode 3 is all over the place, I guess, because it's really the politics, right? It's the politics episode, which I always love. And I did really like it. So, actually, it's interesting to see. I feel like Drummer I mean, I don't want to say she wasn't a main character, because she is a main character who's lasted a long time, but she seemed to always be not, I don't know.
She's not
like,
the forefront.
Yeah, and she was part of, like, supporting story for what other people were doing, and I felt like she really has that. I mean, she's got her own ship and her own crew now, right? And major motivation with the death of Ashford.
Yeah. Thing with Drummer that hit me in this episode was we've never seen her really vulnerable before. I felt like this episode, she, you know, we really kind of got a sense of her, and she's going to play a big role, I think, this season, because she, like everybody else, is going after Marco.
Yeah.
Her reasons are a little different, but.
Yeah. I mean, she's after Marco. She's telling her crew it's for the money, but it's because he killed Ashford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's, yeah. I like the fact that she's practically building a fleet. I mean, she had two ships, and now she has three because she has an Ashford ship.
Yeah, but she doesn't have any more people, right? She's got another ship, but
yeah.
She needs people, I think. She doesn't have an army. She has ships, but she has no sailors.
Which shouldn't be too hard to get more pirates.
Yeah. And I do like her crew. I'm not sure I love – who's the woman – so it cracks me up that every single person on her ship is sleeping with someone else on the ship, and they all sleep naked. And they're all together, right?
They're all together. Like, they're
– It all changes. Like, you see two people together, and then – yeah. They're like a –
Yeah, they're
– Yeah,
like,
they're all – yeah.
They're like – they're – Did she move to Utah?
Yes. but I can't remember the name of the woman who's like the main one.
Yes,
who's
I know who you mean.
To Drummond.
I can't remember her name.
Who
either.
I think is kind of in love with Drummond, I think. That really beautiful woman who's close to her and always like, you know, like, and it's sort of her voice of reason and is like, do you really want to do this? Are you sure? Do we really have to do this? We could just not do this. But Drummond really has to do it. It's who she is. I mean, if you don't understand that, then you don't really know Drummond, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going after him to avenge Ashford. And to a certain extent, Fred now also, right? Like Fred is, I don't know if Drummond knows
well,
it, but Fred is
know about
now
Fred
also. Yeah.
Oksana is the character you're talking about.
Oksana, yes. Thank you. I like her. But I'm not 100% like, so I like her 80% right now. 20% of my jury is still out. I think that, so, I mean, she's taking the meeting with Marco. What do you think about that? I don't think she's ready to try to capture Marco at that moment. Do you? Do you think she's going to this meeting being like, yeah, I'm going to capture Marco? I feel like it's maybe a long game she's playing.
Who? Drummer?
Drummond, right? Drummer, remember,
yeah.
Like, they got a message that Marco wants to meet with them?
Oh, yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't...
I mean, he wants them to join his...
Yeah, I think she's going to go and, you know, give him the opinion that... she'll join him, and then of course she's, you know, her main goal is to kill him.
Yeah.
But see, I also don't trust that he just wants them to join, because if you remember last season, when they were having that little tribunal with the faction on what to do with him, she was all, let's kill him, let's kill him, let's kill him, let's kill him.
But in the end, they let
him
go, yeah. Yeah, he probably does. And he killed her best friend. And he knows that he killed her best friend.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that she
exactly.
knows, but if he's smart, he assumes that she knows. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so this episode and maybe the season is a little bit about people being ruled by their emotions, because I think Drummer's maybe not doing the smartest thing. And who else did we see act really stupid? Like Naomi, I just cannot believe Naomi's actions. Like Naomi is where she is because of her, like,
Don't you want to smack her? Like, she does.
You know what the worst? You know what the worst part about Naomi is? Like, first of all, how did she really think this was going to go? She was going to show up, and Philip was going to be mommy. I mean, she's got to. Does she really believe that this 20-something-year-old man who hasn't seen her since he was like 5?
And who's been radicalized by a terrorist father for his entire life?
Exactly. I mean, does she really think that she's just going to go in there and he's going to be like, so thank God you're here. Dad's been making me do terrible things. Like, I mean, come on, she can't be that blind. But then again, I think back and I go, this is Naomi. Of course that's what she thinks, because this is what Naomi does. Naomi has these grandiose thoughts that she's made a lot. I mean, and that's the great thing about it, though, too, is it's not out of character. For Naomi to do this is
because
first time she's done something stupid.
No, well, because 5 minutes before Philip, she goes to whatever station that is, Palace Station, right? And she's like, let me meet my old terrorist buddies and see if they'll help me, right? And so she meets, I don't know their names, the white guy and the black woman, who are her two former, like, they're still on Marco's crew. And she walks right into the terrorist bar and, like, hangs out with them and expects, right? Like of course Marco knows that you're, right? Like, that was also very dumb of Naomi and done out of, like, total naivete, right? And you're making me think now of, like, so not on the same level, but 1 year ago when she's like, I'm going to go live on a planet with Holden, right? And then her body couldn't, like, take the gravity because she's a belter.
Yeah.
And, like, that's another kind of grandiose idea that she would be able to live on a planet. It's a much smaller stakes thing, but I just felt like she was so dumb. She's so dumb. And then, I mean, I also find Philip and Marco annoying. Philip less so because he's a kid, right? But, like, everything that happened to Naomi is, like, her own fault. And did she really believe she could, like, she's never seen her son basically ever, like, since he was like 1 or 2, he can't possibly remember that. And then she thinks she's gonna be like, I'm gonna give you a ship and you can leave your father. Like in what way would he ever want to leave his father, who has spent his entire life poisoning him against Naomi and really everything and radicalized him, right? Like, it was so dumb. And I've never been a parent, but like, I'm like, oh, do parents just always think they can be like, I love you, and their kid will do what they want? Like, I don't think so, right? Like, if your kid became a terrorist.
Yeah, no, that's not how that works.
Like,
yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Like, your kids never listen to you. That's their thing. Like, you have a daughter who's 18 or 19, and she's great, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't listen to you a lot. And about normal things, not even about terrorism. Right?
Right.
Like, she won't even listen to you when you say, are you going to wear that? Like, she won't do then. So, and she didn't spend her whole life with Marco and Aris. Naomi was stupid. And I thought she was also very stupid when she puts the butter knife up her sleeve. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not like a killing level, like surgical level of blade that they have. Actually, I was cracking up because they have a basic normal microwave in the galley, and they also have this silverware, right? They have real silverware. And she's like, let me take these two knives, which are maybe more than a butter knife, but less than a steak knife. And I'm going to, like, put them up my sleeves and kill Marco. And I can't believe that. First of all, I can't believe they left her alone with the silverware. And that she thinks she's going to, that's another Naomi, like, I mean, I guess she's desperate at that moment, right? She's been kidnapped. Marco's such a dick. Like, Marco is purposely torturing her. Like, he doesn't really care about her. And he's not in love with her, right? He doesn't care about her anymore. But he wants to force her to watch the Earth be blown up. And other kinds of things, right?
You know, I mean, think about, you know, when we, in the last season of the year, season before, when we see the flashback when she leaves Marco, you know, after, like, you know, oh, it's going to be a peaceful thing and everything. And then he, like, murders everybody. And that's when she finally was like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
And that's
when
she leaves him. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
I also felt at the time that he didn't really want Philip as much as it would hurt Naomi to raise Philip as
exactly.
a terrorist. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He
didn't really care about Naomi. It was more of, how dare you leave me? I'm Marco, you know. I'm gonna bring the revolution to the Belters. How dare you leave me?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely abusive, terrorist or no terrorist, he's just an abusive jerk, and he would be an abusive boyfriend, however, and they have immediately fallen back into, I mean, Naomi's a little bit, like, she's being stupid, and she's also being a little weak or whatever, and I mean, so to her defense, maybe Naomi has immediately fallen back into that old pattern that was so hard for her to get out of, maybe, maybe being with Philip, is triggering a lot of, past feelings and behaviors that are hard for her to break. I mean, I do appreciate that she did steal the communicator and alert Holden, and that was a surprise to me. I didn't really think of that. Oh, did I watch ahead?
What episodes
did that
happen
in the next episode? I watched 3 and 4. I watched ahead a little bit, yeah. So,
yeah, I watched 3 and 4. Whatever you're talking about happened in 5, I guess.
I watched a little part of 5.
Yet.
All right. Three ends with Marco and making a speech when the three or four
yes.
ends. Three ends with Marco making a speech, right? Oh my God, I wanted to punch him in the face when he made that speech. That's 4.
You know what the worst part about his speech was? Aside from being like every other damn terrorist speech ever, you know, it's like.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can understand what he's saying and what he wants for his people, but my final thought was, okay, yeah, let's start a new world for the Belters, but let's start it with genocide.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with terrorists is they talk about their people. Well, guess what? You're not making anything better for your people by blowing up innocent people. You know, it doesn't make it, you lose all credibility when you use violence in that manner, you know, and that's what Marco doesn't get.
Yeah. And because if I'm a person who is one of his followers, he's using this violence against Earth now, but what's he going to use against me if he doesn't agree with me at some point? Right. Like he will,
right.
use violence against anyone he perceives as an enemy. It's not a good... He also, I mean, there's a part of me also that was like, he's like, oh, you know, Earth and Mars, their sovereignty is over, and the belt controls everything, and blah, blah. And, you know, he's talking about them... So they're all humans, and they all really did come from Earth, right? Like, Earth colonized Mars, and then Earth colonized the Belt. And I get that it's been centuries, and they've evolved as different cultures and different people. But, you know, yeah, the Belt is treated like a colony, and the Belt is kind of treated like shit. Like, they're the worker bees that make it possible for Earth and Mars to survive. And he's not, there are a lot of problems there, but there's no way that his Navy can survive without the MRCN and the Earth Navy, right? MCRN, MRCN, MCRN, the Martian. He's buying a lot of tech, but there's a limit to that, right? Like, we saw all this with Alex and Bobby, and it goes high up, but it's not like all of Mars is sold out to the belt, right?
Right. But the thing, the key thing is, though, he's got that damn, he's got the protomolecule now.
Yeah.
Which that's
Fred,
the big,
can
that's
Fred
the big
kept
problem.
It in his bedroom? Fred shouldn't have had it at all.
Yeah. And how did Fred get it? Naomi.
Yeah. Yep, he got it from Naomi. Yeah, you're right. Yes, that idiot Naomi was like, oh, the OPA should have a piece of this just in case. Like, you knew then it was going to be stolen. We knew 3 seasons ago it was going to be stolen from Fred.
and Fred had it in his bedroom. So who do you think told? Fred told people. Somebody had to know. I mean, Fred didn't create that vault under his floor.
No.
Somebody built that for him. My money's still on, what's his name, Bull, the guy that was Fred's, the guy seems to really be Holden's partner in this, but I still suspect him.
Yeah,
oh, by the way,
I feel a little better about Bull after this after episode 4. I kind of got suspicious of the one that shot Fred at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
I kind of suspected her, and then once they were watching that ship come in that they were setting the trap for, I'm like, I'm watching her, and the way they were focusing on her, I was like, oh, she's warning them. She's totally in on this shit, and then she shoots Fred in the back. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So all that when that woman they have now as their prisoner is another one that I like just want to like, she's another villain who just like runs her mouth as a smart ass who I want to like punch in the face all the time. Right. And she is a little too, I mean, I guess that's the point of a person who's like driven by ideology, that they are like overly sure of themselves, of the righteousness of their mission. And that's what allows her to be such a smartass. I mean, the only reason I guess she's still alive is because she will spill some information later. Well, and also Holden won't kill a prisoner, right?
Well, yeah, Holden's not going to kill her in cold blood. But speaking of Holden, the best part of that entire scene, Holden got punched by the robot.
Oh, yeah, that was the, like, spider robot.
I, like, you know, he's trying to stop the robot, and he's got that piece of metal in between his legs, and I'm thinking that metal's going to snap and Holden's going to fall on his ass. No, I was wrong. Holden got punched by the robot. The robot, like, was like,
boom. The robot just punched him. The robot just punched him, yeah. Yeah.
I want to know why they want Monica, though. Because Monica's what do you need me for? And she's like, I don't need you. She's like, but somebody else does.
Well, somebody else has to be Marco, right? Like, who else wants her? It's got to be Marco.
I would think so.
I don't know either because, like, you know, there was a part in the episode where Bull's like, oh, Monica's iDrive caught whatever, and we found out whatever. Remember, there was some clue from Monica's eye, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if you're worried about Monica having seen stuff, just kill her. Like, Monica might know something that Marco wants to know. Monica must have information that she doesn't know she has, or something
like that.
That's
what I think.
Because
that's the only thing.
Right?
I think
why
of.
Wouldn't you just kill her? Yeah.
Yeah, but he might. She might have information he needs, like something he wants to know, and she knows it and doesn't know that she knows it. So why
right.
would you kill
she
her?
She doesn't know she knows it, and no one knows she knows it,
right.
but he knows she knows it and wants it. Yeah, that's what I think. Otherwise, why would you not just have them assassinate her for what she knows?
Yeah.
And really, she's already told Holden everything she knows, so even killing her is just like, I mean, he could kill her, but whatever.
Yeah.
She already told Holden everything she thinks she knows.
But that's why I think she knows something she don't know. That she knows.
yeah, she knows something that she doesn't know that she knows, yeah. I felt kind of bad about Fred being killed. I mean, I didn't feel that.
I
felt
shocked.
Bad because of Chad Coleman, right? Yeah. He never had a chance to
I
be, like,
shocked.
A mate. Like, yeah, me too. He's been, like, a major player, but in the periphery, right?
Yeah.
And it looked like maybe he was going to have a big role, and he had the protomolecule, and then, boom, someone steals it and whatever. Does seem like Marco, like, he's a small thinker in some ways because he's got the protomolecule, and his big threat is, like, okay, if Earth or Mark is out of line, I'm going to put the protomolecule on your planet, and then whatever, it'll take everything over and kill you, I guess, right? It's, like, on Sirius. But he doesn't really have the big, or he hasn't articulated a big plan to use the problem with protomolecule is like people think they can control it and use it. Right? We've mm-hmm. seen that. Like we've seen like the whole thing on three seasons ago where those guys were like trying to make human hybrids with little kids and whatever. Like Marco really is just like whatever. It's just another weapon that he can unleash. She's a little bit of a small thinker.
Well, yeah. I think Marco's plan is he wants to, you know, like put the protomolecule in a missile, and shoot the missile at Earth or Mars, and then protomolecule does the rest on its own. Even if it gets shot down, even if it doesn't even make it to the planet, gets shot down, that still releases the protomolecule. Way too close to Earth or Mars for that matter.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it makes sense that Marco would try to sabotage the Rocinante, because if you steal the protomolecule, if anyone's coming after you, it's the Rocinante. It's holding the Rocinante, right?
Of course it is.
And so actually to me, that showed me his willingness to like blow up Naomi. Like Naomi wound up on his ship kind of by chance. If you believe that Philip took Naomi out of a rash decision, I'm not sure I don't believe that it wasn't planned and they're lying to Naomi. But it does seem that Naomi blundered into this and was kidnapped
I do believe it simply because of the way things went.
Right.
The scene where Philip decides to bring her, if I'm to believe the facial expression of the actor when he makes the decision, it looked like a split being told to do it.
So if she hadn't done this totally Naomi thing, like under normal conditions, Naomi would be on the Rocinante when they came, like it would have been blown up. She would have been blown up with Holden. The only reason that Rossi doesn't get blown up is because Naomi's not on it.
I'm also not that far yet.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm talking.
Rocinante,
I'm sorry. I'm spoiling you. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
How did you
get to
5?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
What,
I'm sorry.
4 got over and you just didn't turn it off?
I'm sorry. Okay, but it's not a spoiler to say that Holden will go after the protomolecule.
Well, yeah.
Right? That's
that
not a spoiler. You know
one.
That. Let's talk about something else that happened. Let's talk about Alex.
Okay.
Poor Alex. All that happens with Emily when he goes on his date with Emily happens in episode 3, I think, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it's poor Alex. I mean, he was trying to get information out of her. She's trying to get information out of him.
So I actually bought that Alex was being played by Emily through most of that scene. Like, I feel like she's this pretty girl who buys wine and whatever, and he's all giving her all this information, and like he's telling her everything, and like he really spilled a lot, and I was like, oh, Alex is getting played, and then. Almost at the end of it, when he learns she's going on a supply mission, I was like, well, maybe Alex was really playing dumb. Like, was Alex playing dumb, or is Alex dumb, I guess is the question out of that scene.
Alex went on the date to get her information about the Admiral, because, you know, Bobby's like, we need to, you know, get this information. I mean,
he did.
I don't think he realizes it. I don't think he realizes he was getting played. Like, he went there to play, you know, as I'm saying, it was both of them. Like, neither one realized the other was going on this date to play the other.
I mean, he did do that. You're right, but I just feel like Alex also has been rejected by his wife and his son, and he's feeling very vulnerable, and he's really, like, he's always, like, he's, like, a borderline kind of a player guy, and I just felt like Alex was really getting played by Emily. So a week ago, last episode, where Emily says, do you want to have coffee with Alex? I thought Alex really believed that she wanted to have coffee. Like, I didn't really knew that she was playing him when he went.
No, not at that point. Yeah, no. I that's what I'm saying. I don't think he realized she was playing him until he got attacked.
Yeah, so she got a lot of information out of him because he was thinking with not his brain. And then he gets attacked. I did love that he had the presence of mind to call Bobby at the last second for her to come and, you know, save his ass, which she did. I do like them as a team. They're a good team, Bobby and Alex.
Yeah.
You know, and she, you know, she kind of saves the day and whatever. So there's, you know, there's all that. I kind of like also that, you know, they're sort of out on their own side mission. Actually, these couple episodes really brought it back together the way Alex and Bobby are doing their thing on the side. Avasarala is out there doing her thing. You know, our whole cast is separated. Nobody, are there any two, Bobby and Alex are the only people together. And yet, you know, they were tightening the net and bringing them all back into the same storyline.
That's what I said. That's what I said right away was I hope they don't keep everybody apart for too long because, you know, the whole Marco threat, they're all going to eventually end up together. Once again, I love the scenes with Christian. You know, her and her buddy there, they figure out the whole thing. And then they get proof a little too late because we see at the end of episode 3, we see the meteor go past the satellites because nobody wants to lose them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she had such a great line in episode 4 when they're trying to get a hold of Gal and they can't get through to anybody. And then she's like, that's it, the staff. And, you know, and she calls the chef. And he's like, I can't do this. And she's like, listen, you've been fattening me up with macaroons for years. Do what I say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I loved that.
I mean, I love the line. And I just love that, you know, the way that Christian's been sent out to, like, the middle of nowhere to do some stupid work because Nancy Gow's, you know, trying to put her in her place. And that, it's, you know, Christian saves the day based on her years of experience being the Secretary General. You know, like only because she rode in that plane so much and she just shows her, and because she was nice enough to talk to the staff and know the guy and have his number and the guy would take her call.
Yeah.
Like it was so great. And I did like that, like Nancy Gow gave in. Nancy Gow was like, okay, Christian, mm-hmm. you're right, whatever in that moment.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I like that too. That's what I was just going to say, because, you know, a lot of times with these shows, the person in charge is like, oh, you're crazy. And that's it, and I like the fact that Nancy Gow, you know, puts aside all her differences with Christian and is like, okay, what do I need to, you know, do what she said, because obviously we missed something because, you know, 2 meteorites just hit our planet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so it showed that she, while she was a political player and defeated Christian and was like punishing her and putting her in her place, like when it comes to the good of the planet, she, you know, she's unlike certain politicians we have in our country right now who don't care about the good of the population. You know, she, Nancy, it's a good sign. Like, you know, maybe Christian can work with, maybe Christian can work with her. In that moment, there seems to be hope that they can maybe have some sort of, you know.
And so with Air Force One going down, her entire cabinet, most of her cabinet being with her, and the members of the cabinet who weren't with her or who are spread across the country, and everybody's kind of in disarray, not knowing who the chain of command goes to next. What do you think the odds are that they're going to be like, listen, while we sort this out, Christian, could you just kind of take the reins while we figure things out? Because we're really not prepared.
I think she's going to have like a battle. You know, in Battlestar Galactica, where like everyone gets killed and the Secretary of Education has to become the president.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Christian, I don't even know what Christian's job is. She's like the administrator of some bullshit station somewhere, right?
And Christian, I think you're right. I feel the same way. No, you're right. And she doesn't do her job. Meanwhile, she's like, she's got some stupid job, and she's like, yeah, I'll give Amos a visa, and I'll like talk to this general or whatever. And I think you're right. I think Christian is going to come out. Either it's going to turn out she's at the head of the line of succession, or you're right. They're just going to be like, look, we can't deal, Christian. Can you please just be in charge right now?
Yeah.
Or, you know,
and then Nancy Gow will be alive, and she'll have to hand it back over.
Oh, Nancy Gow could still be alive. Yeah, they could still be alive. We don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I don't think they're gonna. I don't think anybody died. I think the plane crashed, but I think there's gonna be survivors, and I'm pretty sure Nancy will be one of them.
Yeah, yeah. That would be huge actually for Christian to like step up, save everybody, and then have to like step back down and be like, yeah, I'm not.
Relinquished.
You know,
yeah.
Nancy, okay, you're the. Yeah. Yeah.
So you just mentioned Amos. So speaking of Amos, we find out who Amos is going to visit in jail. Clarissa Mao.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm not surprised that he went to see her. What caught me off guard was the last time we see Clarissa, she was on a ship on some kind of work release program because they needed her for something. I didn't realize she was going back in the slammer. I thought they were just going to keep her, you know, with inhibitors and have her working since she was actually useful. But apparently not. She went back to prison, which I don't disagree with, you know, based on what she did.
Yeah.
It was funny because as soon as the alarm started going off, I was like, of course something's going to happen while Amos is here, you know? And then I saw the ceiling crack, and I went, oh, my God, the meteor landed in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And the only
yeah.
reason, and the only people alive is everybody in that underground jail. Everybody else is dead.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what they say, they said it landed, they said, like 10 miles away from Pittsburgh. So
Philly, they said it was like 10 miles north of Philly,
Philly. So yeah.
Yeah. So Philly's 100 miles from Baltimore. So, it's like a
yeah.
one or two. It has a huge blast radius.
Well,
like,
yeah,
basically
I was going to say it's in the blast radius for damn sure.
Yeah. And so they're saved by being underground, right?
Yeah. Which I think is an interesting way to have Clarissa now once again try and, I mean, she can never be completely redeemed, but it's going to give her another opportunity to do something good because clearly there's going to be, you know, prisoners are getting out. there's no way that this is all going to, that Amos is going to be in, you know, underground prison the whole time for the whole season. I'm not sure what role we're going to play, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that he's going to be, like, totally, like, there's no way he spends the entire season in an underground prison, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think by being underground is how they're going to be. I mean, it's not like we saw, like, what the meteors did to other parts of the planet. So we know that being underground is the saving thing probably for them.
And did
you
recognize
stuff has collapsed on them?
Did you recognize the guard that brought him to her?
She looks so familiar to me. The guard, the woman, the female guard who brings him down there, she looks so familiar.
Yes. Yeah, me who too. And I'm looking at her and going, I'm like, I know, I definitely know her from something. And
so
I Googled, and as soon as I Googled, I was like, oh, my God, obviously. I was like, I don't know how I didn't realize that. It's Natalie Brown. She was the annoying, I don't know what you want to call her, on Dark Matter. She was Three's girlfriend. That they put in the computer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was his wife, I think.
Or whatever they ended up being, but yeah. And
yeah,
she was also
yeah.
And she was also on The Strain. She was what's his face's ex. She was Kelly on The Strain.
Oh yeah, she was the mother of the child on the,
yeah.
on The Strain. That's right. Which now makes me wonder, will she be a little bit of a character? She's a little bit of a bigger actress.
Well,
she certainly didn't appear just to walk Amos down the stairs and then disappear, right?
Well, that was my thought too. According to IMDb, she's in two episodes, so maybe she's
so she might be in like
spot.
Next
maybe,
week's episode.
Maybe
yeah.
she's a big fan of The Expanse and just got a little guest spot. So I'm, you know, obviously she'll be in the next episode. She'll be probably in episode 5.
Yeah.
So.
So I have a question. So Amos goes like 10 levels underground to go visit Clarissa. She's on a special level where they have people who have body modifications.
Yep.
I can't remember what's her modification.
You know, I couldn't remember either. Like, it was because of her job that she had. That
was which
was
being a mechanic.
I think she also
she's
had
a really good mechanic,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I don't remember what her specific mods were, though. Whatever they were, apparently it's really dangerous to have hers removed. So.
Yeah, and yet she's not as... So, do you remember when Amos comes down the stairs and there's that guy, that big muscly guy who
yeah.
is who's working out, and they mention his name, which is like Koresko or Kunitsko or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And then Amos makes a point of asking the guard about him. And she mentions him by name again and says, like, oh, he won't remove his mods. He stays down here, whatever. Like, I feel like that guy must be a character also. Like, they didn't maybe just call that guy out just to be, like, they could have shown
well, yeah.
anyone and not mentioned his name or whatever, right? Like, that guy is definitely.
Clearly, he's going to, you know, play a part as they try to escape the prison.
Well, and clearly, Clearly, he's very strong and therefore would be
yeah.
useful when, you know, when the ceiling collapses on you and how they're going to get out of there or whatever. But, I mean, I really don't want to see – talk about everybody being separated. I don't – like, I'm interested in his story, but I really don't want to see a season where Amos spends a lot of time trapped underground – trying to get to the surface.
Right.
And or trapped on Earth trying to get back to his friends. Like how is Amos?
Yeah, no,
like,
I don't want to see either.
Like
I'm
everyone
hoping...
else is so far from Earth. Right? Like
yeah, except for Christian. That's what I'm hoping he at least gets back to Christian and then
yeah.
can get involved somehow.
Oh, my God. Those two are an amazing odd couple also, right? Like, if he got back to Christian
yeah.
and that's the only person she has, like, they're an incredible odd couple.
Chrissy.
Like, nothing alike. Chrissy and Amos have nothing in common. Be a really interesting, like, pair to try to work together.
Yeah.
But everyone else is so far away. Naomi's so far. Like, people are on Mars. People are on Tycho. Wherever the hell Tycho is, it's pretty far.
Yeah.
In the belt, like Amos. What is this? 10 episodes? I wonder what episode we'll have them all back together. Be a long time.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
oh my God, I hope they don't
right.
do a thing where we don't see Amos get out for another 2 episodes, right?
Oh, that'll piss me off.
That would suck. Ugh.
All right.
So,
well,
all right.
Next week,
so
we
next
talk
week
about
we watch 5 and 6.
And we'll be caught up.
And then we're caught up. Okay.
Yes. Then Karen can't accidentally
right.
watch ahead.
Well, I didn't watch all 5, so I don't really know what happened. I didn't watch all 5. I watched part of 5. So I'll have to watch it and then watch 6. And then we'll have a few 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yep.
All right. Great.
All right.
All right, and that's pretty much This in the Wild is it for next week, so.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have a short show. Great. All right, hopefully, thank you, AJ, for a great show.
Start coming back soon. Oh, wait, what did you texted us this week? What's coming back soon?
Snowpiercer. January 25th is Snowpiercer. Yep. January 25th. Have you seen a bunch of advertising on television for it?
I have not.
There is a character in the ads. You must not watch TV because it's on. I work at home, so the TV's on all day long.
I don't have regular TV. I don't have regular TV anymore. Everything's streaming.
Oh, you guys don't have cable or whatever?
No, got rid of it. Got tired of paying money for something I hardly ever watched. I have other ways.
Yeah.
The only reason I still had Spectrum as long as I did was for sports, and I have other ways to watch live sports, so I don't really need it.
Well, no offense, but your local sports teams are not great right now.
No kidding.
Oh, the Giants were fraudulently ousted from the playoffs by bad faith effort from the Eagles.
That was bad. But you know what? I'm impressed with the season they had. They did better than I was expecting, actually. I think they finally got the right coach. They got the right coach in there finally. Not sold on a quarterback yet, but
they did do better. They did. But, yeah, what do you need sports for? You've got some bad sports teams in your area lately. Anyway, I do have cable, and so when I work from home, I have, like, sometimes TNT is just on all day with, like, Friends and Seinfeld, and they keep advertising the hell out of Snowpiercer. Some of it is clips from past episodes we've seen. Some of it is clips from episodes upcoming. And so I don't want to, if you haven't seen it, then most of us have seen it. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
And we'll just wait and see what happens next season. Well, I mean, I can, but you know, but we all know how promo offices ruin everything. So I just won't say anything.
No, promo offices.
January 25th. Yeah, no promo. Marketing team, network marketing never has ruined anything. One of these characters.
And that's
a
Monday, so that means we will be talking Snowpiercer in 3 weeks, because that's a Monday.
Okay. All right, gives me a chance to go back and watch the season finale like I always do.
Yep.
Catch myself up.
Plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. We'll see you again next week. Have a good week, Karen. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
All right, you too.
And good night.
Good night.